Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to How to Survive, the show that teaches you how to survive the stuff that can kill you.
Like Komodo dragons, or mine collapses, or a custody battle.
And the stuff that just makes you wish you were dead.
Like liquid diets, or broken toilets.
Oof, don't like when those go together.
No, they're going to.
Mm-hmm.
And being held by the police.
Oof, no thanks.
No thank yous.
I will say yes, thank you, please,
to our theme song.
That's right.
Ding, ding.
Ground is shaking under our feet. Mountains on fire, flooding in the street. Can't breathe the air, can't fight the feeling. Gobbling down Xanax ain't the way to be dealing. Gotta do better than just getting high. We gotta stick together if we're gonna survive.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
Queen.
Yeah, I got my Queen shirt on.
I like it.
And I saw Queen with Adam Lambert.
Nice. Oh, so that's an official shirt.
Yes. Yeah. It was good. It, you know, it can't be as good as Freddie Mercury, but it sure was.
No.
It's probably as close as we're
It was
ever
as close
get.
As you could get. Yeah. And it was great. He was fantastic. Is he still with them? He must be, right?
I think so. Yeah. I don't know. They keep hinting or acting like it's just like this temporary thing.
And
just do it. Just make it official.
Well, he didn't have a super successful solo career after Idol, right?
No.
Yeah. Well, he found the right
job. He's no Ruben Stoddard.
Stuttered.
He's no Klubin.
Sorry.
Klubin.
He's no Klubin and Ray.
Klubin and Ray.
We're referencing our bonus episode.
Yes. Apparently, Karen had a small stroke.
Yeah.
And said Klubin and Ray when he meant Ruben and Clay.
And then as soon as I said it, I just did this and I was like, that doesn't sound right.
You didn't ask for TikToks at the liquor store?
No, close.
See all the fun you're missing by not having the bonus?
Right?
Sign up for Patreon.
We had a hoot.
We did. We actually did have a lot of fun.
Yeah, we had our guest, Amanda Dibert, had a very good story.
Oh my God.
She had a very good
story. Just maddening, but good. So... I'm not going to go into detail, but I did the Writers Guild Awards on Sunday. I write on them every year. And so we have various presenters.
Yes.
And we had past guests, Tig Notaro and Patton Oswalt were presenters.
Loverly.
And some other wonderful people. And we heard this year we were getting Jimmy Fallon. And we were like, that's weird. He lives on the East Coast.
Right.
His show is never nominated, so it's
why
curious yes. that he would want to do it, but okay.
Sure.
So we wrote bits for him, and then he had another engagement.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like, okay, what if he can't come? And we're thinking of like bits we can write for him, for other people in the audience that we can pull out. Like Sarah Silverman's in the audience, we can give her a bit. Or our initial thing was Brett Goldstein.
Yes.
We were going to give it to him, but he didn't want to do it if... if he didn't get to veto the copy. Anyway, so...
Diva.
Yeah. No, I understand it. It's like he doesn't want to say something if it doesn't think it's fine. Whatever. He's, you know, he's a comic too.
Yes,
so
yes.
It totally makes sense. But also, if you go to a place thinking you're just going to relax and then it's like, oh no, you have to go up and perform. Yes. So I understand. But anyway... You know, I was like, Jesus Christ, I can't believe we have to write for Jimmy Fallon. I fucking hate Jimmy Fallon.
Yes.
Like, then I was watching, this was early on in the process, I'm watching clips of his show to get his quote-unquote voice. and I'm like, just can't believe how much I hate these bits he does. Yes. And how, like, I don't think he's present for any of these bits that he's doing. And
right.
I just think it's weird and his energy. But okay, all right, you know, whatever. Comes in, could not have been friendlier, was yeah. the sweetest guy.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, made eye contact,
yes.
shook hands. Oh, nice to meet you. Not everyone does that, believe it or not.
I believe it a lot.
So it was really funny. And then the other thing, I've never thought this, handsome.
Huh.
It's
in
like,
person.
I think when someone's nice.
Yes.
And I was just like, wow. He looked really good. He looks yes. he looks much younger than he does on television for some reason. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I think TV's hard.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe,
because it's now it's so crystal clear that it shows everything.
Maybe that's
and
what it is.
So I do think, again, that is why so many people get such insane amounts of work.
Yes.
Because it is, I think, harder.
Oh, it's so awful. Even if, yeah. I mean, if you're in a film, it can be, you know, you can be lighting, but there's only so much lighting they're going to do on, you know, I guess.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
In any case, it was just funny because I was That's like, hilarious. Once again, I have to eat my words. I mean, yes. I still don't really enjoy his.
You don't have to watch the show
comedy
now.
On yeah. his show,
but you can adjust your perceptions.
And I also understand that just because he was pleasant doesn't mean he's a good person to his employees or whatever. Because there was that article.
We have heard the stories. Yes. Yes,
but it was just funny because I always say like it doesn't go. You know, it's not that hard to be nice, and then yes. it's like, oh, okay, someone's nice.
What else is going on, guys? You know, my dad told me he. Never does laundry. When he runs out of socks and underwear, he just goes and buys new socks and underwear from Walmart.
Why? Does he not have laundry on his premises?
Yep.
He does have it.
He just doesn't want to do it.
So he doesn't wash anything. So he...
Maybe he does like every... He maybe shirts and pants he does like...
No, he's not washing them because why would he not wash the underwear and socks?
Yeah. So I don't think he's just...
He's not washing anything.
No.
Jesus Christ.
And did I tell you about his foot? Guys, you gotta hear this.
What?
I'm sorry. Like, we can cut this out if it gets too long. This isn't gonna be too long, but I'm saying overall. My brother came over to see if he was okay,
mm-hmm.
check on him, because he doesn't leave his house that much. And he goes, what's going on with your foot?
Oh, no.
And he goes, what do you mean?
It's purple.
Yeah. It was all purple and swollen. And he goes, have you not noticed your foot? And my dad's like, no, who looks at their feet?
Oh, my God.
And my brother was like, everybody?
How can you not look at your
and
foot?
And it was so swollen and, like, big and purple. And he was, like, not able to walk on it. So my brother had to take him and get, you know, x-rayed and looked at and MRIs. And now he's getting all these nerve tests. But when my dad calls me to tell the story, he goes, your brother's so weird. He's, like, looking at other people's feet.
Like, oh, come on.
My foot is like, I don't know. I mean, Chris, who looks at their feet?
So had you already heard your brother's side of the story at this point?
Yes. Okay. I heard them both on like the same day.
Oh, my God.
And so I was like hearing my brother go, yeah, you should have seen his foot, man. It was like,
God.
This is the first thing I noticed when he opened the door, you know, because he's not walking around barefoot.
Well, if your dad was having trouble walking, how could he have not noticed?
I don't.
It's just denial.
I think it's denial.
All right. Shall we get into today's topic?
Yes. Let's do it.
All right. Speaking of families.
Oh, God.
We're going to learn how to survive a custody battle.
Oh, my goodness.
Fun. Okay. I'm going to tell you about California because that's what I looked up. Okay. In California, custody is always awarded based on what the court believes to be in the interests of the child. There are four kinds of custody that determine the general custody arrangements. Okay, physical. You've heard all these terms, but here's the definitions. Physical. This describes custody decisions regarding where the child will spend their time living.
Mm-hmm.
It can also include visitation protocols for a parent who was not awarded physical custody. legal.
Okay.
This describes the custody around decision making for how the children will be raised. It includes making decisions regarding education, religion, and medical issues. Sole, this is when one parent has the custody in question. Joint, this is when the parents share custody and have an equal say. The physical or legal custody is ruled to be either sole or joint. They need not be the same. For instance, even when the court orders sole physical custody for one parent, they will still make an effort to provide joint legal custody. So you're making decisions together even though the kids are with me. Okay. Here are the best ways to survive. Focus on the best interest of your child. This should go without saying.
Sure.
But you're a ding dong.
Of course.
Sadly, a lot of parents lose sight of the most important thing, your child's best interest. Here's why. Parents often get wrapped up in trying to win. Don't shift away from what's best for your child because you're trying to beat your ex. I could see that as being a being tempting, just to want to win. A heated custody battle takes a toll on everyone. Even babies are aware of and affected by the increased stress that goes hand in hand with separation and custody
little
cases.
Babies.
Little babies. Say it the way you always say it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Children. And where does Bebe sleep? Remember from Schitt's Creek?
I love Schitt's Creek.
Where does Bebe sleep? Children feel anxiety just as adults do, and it can adversely affect their mood, sleep patterns, and other behaviors. You don't want a grumpy baby.
Oh, it's the last thing you want.
Older kids may be concerned about the unknowns, the possibilities of having to move, change schools, make all new friends. It's common for them to worry that they're somehow to blame or that you or their other parent won't love them anymore. Hmm. Keep in mind that in an emotionally challenging time for everyone, and it's important to stay focused on your children and what's best for them. Now's the time to give them a little extra reassurance and emotional support. As you start sorting through the details of your child's custody agreement, remember that children benefit greatly from having both parents play an active role in their life. It's important to work out a fair parenting time schedule that gives your kids quality time with both of you. The exception to the rule is when one parent is unfit to care for the child because they pose a risk of physical or emotional harm. If that's the case, it's critical you consult an attorney right away to help protect your child. Okay, two, hire an experienced family law attorney.
Yes.
When you're facing something as serious as a custody battle, it is crucial that you get in touch with an attorney quickly. They know the law, have tried many cases like yours, and can play both protector and peacemaker while working for the best case outcome. Having an attorney guide you from the start can help you from making costly mistakes. Some parents start the process based on false beliefs. I thought I was going to say some parents start the process before they even conceive children. I have a feeling we're going to have kids and it's not going to go well.
We should probably already get our lawyers.
Get our ducks in a row.
Yeah.
Some parents start the process based on false beliefs or with unrealistic expectations. For example, being awarded 100% full custody is highly unlikely. Mm. Don't assume just because you're a woman that the court will favor you and you'll have an easier time getting the custody agreement you want. That's not the case. Likewise, if you're a father, don't assume you don't stand a chance because the courts favor mothers. Despite what you may have heard, that's not how it works. When courts make decisions about child custody...
Wink, wink.
Yeah. When courts make decisions about child custody and visitation agreements, they want to ensure both parents are a part of their child's lives. Your attorney will let you know what to realistically expect and how to create an equitable parenting agreement and visitation schedule that's fair to everyone. If you do have any concerns about the well-being of your children, hiring an attorney is extremely important. They will advocate for what's best for your child, making their safety a priority. I'm always like, well, let's just, when I think about these things, not that I've ever been divorced, but I always think like, oh God, it must be so expensive. Like wow, that'd be great if you could just do it yourself. But it don't work like that.
I would never, ever do that. Like, I think that like, it's a nice idea that we would all be nice to each other and like work it out. We'd be fair, but like, we don't like each other anymore.
Yeah.
And you know, I think one of the things that happens a lot is women tend to not want to have conflict.
Yeah.
And be like, I just want this to be over.
Right.
I'm generalizing right now. And men tend to be more shrewd when it comes to financial stuff.
Yeah.
And they're going to do just fine. Like, and statistically, it's shown that men do better out of a divorce than women financially. So like for me personally, I would never do a divorce without making sure I had a lawyer.
Right.
I would be like, we're doing this.
Right.
I'm not going to handle
or
this on my
like
own.
Or even like the custody, you think like, oh, well, we're just
fair.
Adults.
Yeah.
But it's like anything can change. You have to have that stuff in print.
Yes, yes.
You have to have, because even if things are done legally, there can still be a lot of mess ups.
Especially because you think like, well, both of us decided we don't want to be in this marriage anymore. But rarely does it work that way, that both people exactly feel the same way.
Right,
the
right.
other person might be like, I guess I'm just agreeing to this, but I don't really want it. And then as soon as one of them starts dating, the other person might get really vindictive and be like, well, you know what? I'm going to start whispering in the ear of the child and working my way.
Did you guys all have to go to court when you were little kids?
No.
When your parents got divorced?
No.
Was
I don't think so. I don't remember.
Not that I remember.
Were there attorneys involved?
I don't know. I don't remember any lawyers. There was no custody battles because my dad didn't want custody. And it was, my mom had full custody and that was what my dad wanted. And my dad saw us, I think it was like Wednesdays and Saturdays or something for me. And my brothers didn't want to see him.
Oh, wow.
So they were mad at him.
Yeah.
And I think they were teenagers.
It's a different thing,
It was a different thing. I don't know how much. I'd have to ask my brothers. I don't know how much they saw him.
Hmm. But now your brother is trying his hardest to make him comfortable.
Yeah, he's bending over backwards to take care of my dad.
Wow.
It's really kind of incredible.
<That's>
like considering like their relationship.
Did you spend time with both your parents when they divorced?
I lived with my mom.
How old were you when your parents got divorced?
I don't remember.
You don't know how old you were?
Single digits. I was really young.
Oh, you were little.
Little, yeah.
Yeah.
But we my brother and I would go there on weekends.
To your dad's house.
To my dad's house. And then eventually I moved in with him when I was a teenager.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
So it was sort of fluid.
Yeah. Like my mom and I weren't getting along. Like we would argue. I was a maniac kid. I was an asshole and I was mad all the time and for whatever reason. So we would fight constantly and then I moved in with my dad where it was fine because he was barely around. He was working all the time.
You could just
go to
do
baseball
whatever.
And pool and do whatever. Yeah. Well, what was I doing? But sitting in my room watching movies on my TV. I wasn't a rebel. I wasn't out, running the streets.
Yeah.
I kind of wish I was, but I wasn't. I was just a boring little kid who had a bad attitude.
Yeah, same. Both of those. And how old were you when your parents
Eight.
Split? Oh, okay, that's how old Jimmy was.
So yeah, I mean, I remember, I can remember a movie my dad telling us.
Oh.
You know, we were all in the kitchen and him telling us that, you know, they were going to split up and that he was moving out. But I don't really remember anything beyond that except, I remember he stayed at a weird motel for a few days close by.
The divorced dad motel.
Yeah, and I went and saw him there and this is sad.
Yeah.
And I remember like close by apartments he had for a while. Like they were always parts of houses and that like it would be like just a couch, a few like records.
Yeah.
And then there would be literally every house he lived in, there would be a giant stack of Playboys.
Oh,
just
fun.
Yeah. Like, because
you mean they came with that? Like, this is the sad dad apartment. It comes with Playboys or they were his?
I think they were his.
And they made the move every time.
There was like always like, stack of Playboys, a Kathy Ireland calendar.
Oh,
and like,
fantastic.
You know, a huge TV.
Uh-huh.
And like, and then he started having roommates.
Oh, that's always fun when
you know,
your grown
like bachelor
father has
dude roommates that he lived with who maybe had some also furniture, so it wasn't, you know, but there's never like pictures on the walls. There'd always just be like a framed picture of me and my brothers was the only thing that ever hung on his wall.
Mm-hmm.
That's continued to this day.
Oh.
And they always smelled musty, you know, the houses like an old sponge.
Oh,
And then he started dating. Mm. And then instead of going to his apartments, I would get to go to his like girlfriend's houses with him, where sometimes they would have like a daughter who was like wildly older than I was,
just way inappropriate,
you know, or like a son who was a toddler. Like it was just such a strange experience.
So weird.
So I'd never, I just kind of never wanted to go.
I can understand.
I got to the point where I'd be like, please don't make me stay with Dad. Not because he wasn't nice. It was just such a strange experience of like.
And also, if your other siblings weren't doing it, I can imagine that'd be sort of weird too.
Yeah, it felt very lonely.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, that was a bizarre part of life.
Well, speaking of that, work together to keep things from getting ugly. One of the biggest problems with child custody cases is that they can quickly become ugly. Parents often use this as an opportunity to take out frustrations regarding their relationships with each other rather than keeping their focus on the kids. If you want to protect your interests, if you want to protect your interests and those of your child, you need to do your best to make peace and be civil. Try to separate from your personal feelings regarding your ex and keep any unresolved issues because the two of you, try to separate your personal feelings. I can see.
Oh my God. Did you have the surgery? You just didn't even know it?
So for some reason, it's easier today to read without my glasses. I don't know why. Anyway, I'm sure it'll get fuzzy in a second. Try to separate from your personal feelings regarding your ex and keep any unresolved issues between the two of you out of your custody case. Focus only on issues that will have a direct impact on your child. Regardless of where the two of you stand, it is always better to have an out-of-court settlement. Mm. That doesn't mean don't use lawyers. That means try to negotiate with your lawyers before you get into the court.
Yes.
You have more control over getting the best outcome for your child when your co-parenting relationship is collaborative rather than combative.
Makes sense.
If you're unable to reach an agreement together, mediation services are available to help work through the details before going to court becomes necessary.
You're fine. I just wanted to make sure. Sorry.
Your attorney can help make these arrangements.
Garen, did your parents collaborate nicely with each other? Like, did you have parents who were kind of kind to each other in front of you, and or were they combative and talking badly about each other in front of you?
I think it was a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they didn't get along much.
Mm-hmm.
Now they do. Like, years past, they started to and did, especially when we were coming out.
Mm. Oh, good.
But until he says something stupid.
Right.
And then they fight again.
Right.
But there was definitely a lot of anger, I think. And the way I understand it, they broke up because my dad was, which he does what he always does, is he puts everything else before us and her, like his work
himself.
And, yeah. I mean, he's usually working all the time or going to baseball or going to whatever.
His own stuff.
Yeah. Mm. And that kind of was a running theme throughout growing up.
So your mom filed for divorce. Your mom asked for the divorce.
Yes. Same
with you?
Yes.
That's a good question. I'm not sure. My dad was having an affair.
Oh, okay.
And I don't really know, though, if it was that. I can't remember now if it was that then he said. I think my mom was the one who was like, I'm divorcing you.
Yeah.
But it could have been that my dad was like, I'm having an affair and also this marriage is over. I would have to ask. But to my parents' credit, my dad never said an unkind word about my mom.
Good.
Ever. Which, why should he? And my mom, I mean, she was angry and she definitely did not want to talk to my dad. Like, they didn't have conversations. Like, when he would come to pick me up, he would come to the door. But, like, she wasn't hostile towards him. She didn't really speak badly about him. I mean, her voice would be like, your father's here. but, you know.
She didn't trash him
you
guys.
She didn't. And
that's hard and admirable.
I think it was really, until I got older and like, was a grown person, did I find out any details. And
gotcha.
I knew because her sisters would be like, that fucking piece of shit. You know, like, her sisters would kind of, I would overhear stuff.
Oh, okay. They weren't saying it to you.
No, not to me. But, like, you know, they would kind of, under their breath, you know, disparage him, you know, because he'd hurt her.
Yeah.
And they were protective of each other. So I knew, you know, something had happened, but I didn't really know the details until I got a lot older.
I guess that's good.
I think it is. Yeah. I think it is.
Yeah. Okay. Address issues that could work against you. If you're facing a child custody battle, you can expect every aspect of your life to be put under a microscope. Because of this, you need to understand what aspects of your life may not play to your advantage in court.
You have, like, if you're in a sex cult.
Yes.
Right?
Or if you run a sex cult.
Oh.
That's probably worse.
I'm so glad I don't do that.
Right. Although you can multitask.
That's true.
If you're running a sex cult, you're probably good at multitasking.
And it's probably profitable.
Yeah.
You're good at managing people. You can probably handle whatever the kids throw at you.
Exactly. And you have like 20 built-in babysitters, 20-year-old girls hanging around.
That's true.
An attorney can help evaluate your personal circumstances and offer advice to give you the best chances of a favorable outcome. If any potential issues are uncovered, your attorney will advise you on what you can do to minimize the impact of those things could have on your custody case. Also, keep in mind that perception is everything. Keep your communication with the other parent positive, and don't say anything that you wouldn't want a judge to see.
Mm. Careful with those texts, people.
Well, that's the next point. Exercise caution with your social media use.
Oh, yeah.
In today's day and age, it's easy to jump on social media to complain about your ex. I see this happening all the time. It might feel good to publicly vent and receive support. However, it's not a good idea.
Nope. Have those conversations in person.
Yes. If you publicly bash the other parent, it could potentially be used against you as evidence of parental alienation.
Oof.
Your activity on social media can be used as evidence in a variety of other ways, too, and is sure to be closely scrutinized. Don't be getting on OnlyFans if you're going through a custody battle. Get off of WikiFeet. What you say online can negatively impact the outcome of a custody battle, so it's important to exercise caution.
Why do you think that Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin said that they were consciously uncoupling?
You mean to help each other in court?
Because they didn't want to deal with bashing each other.
Yeah, right.
I don't think anyone consciously uncouples.
Well, she's also more, you know, evolved than we are. So
that's true.
She probably was legitimately consciously uncoupling.
She probably did a 72-hour meditation.
Right.
With her, you know, guided by many assistants.
Right.
I mean, I could do a 72-hour meditation if I had four people, like, helping me through it.
Sure. So they just say basically stay off social media if you're going, like, just don't post anything,
or
which I think makes sense.
Stay off social media
in general,
just generally.
Mm-hmm. Okay, stay positively engaged in your child's health. The best thing you can do, life, not health, ignore their health. The best thing you can do for the long run is to exercise your rights and honor your responsibilities as a parent. Even before a formal agreement is made, take every opportunity to be a strong presence in your child's life and stay away from mistakes that can make you lose your parental rights. Seven ways to lose custody of your child.
All right. This is good if you want to.
This is a how-to.
Seven tips.
Parents often wonder how a mother can lose custody of her child. The truth is mothers can lose custody in the same way as fathers. Abusing or neglecting the child, using alcohol or drugs irresponsibly, abducting the child, disobeying court orders, interfering in the child's relationship with the other parent, lying to the court, putting the child at risk. Be careful.
Yeah, lots of parents abduct their kids during custody battles, and that was the whole sort of overblown fears with the missing child epidemic, mm-hmm. that we all thought kids were getting kidnapped all the time, and everybody got scared, and it was almost always a parent.
Yes, right. Isn't that insane with murder? Right? Isn't it usually the spouse or
almost
the
always
partner?
Yeah we got to not worry about the stranger danger.
Yeah,
it's not a thing.
Yeah,
worry about your husband or wife.
Yeah,
they're gonna kill you.
Exactly. So don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it, guys.
Do you want to hear a crazy story?
Please. I love crazy stories.
This is not you know,
you already sold it as crazy.
Okay. I was just gonna say, it's not like a typical custody story. It's just so crazy that I thought it would be a little interesting.
It's like two wombs.
It's
is it two womb crazy?
It's not two wombs.
That's the bar now.
Okay. Trisha Conlon's motherly instincts seems reasonable. She doesn't want her teenage boys living with a woman who shot and killed her own daughters in their sleep 20 years ago.
Whoa, is this Diane Downs?
What's that?
Never mind.
What's that?
It's this Small Sacrifices. Do you know who's the woman? Anne Rule is this famous true crime writer, and she wrote The Strangers Beside Me, this book about Ted Bundy. She also wrote this book called Small Sacrifices about, I think her name's Diane Downs, and she's a woman who shot her own kids and then pretended that a crazed gunman did it.
No.
Okay.
This is not that.
So another woman did it. Okay.
Yes.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
That's okay. So this is an article from, I think, 2014 or something. Anyway, but this will happen on Sunday thanks to a bizarre and convoluted custody dispute with her ex-husband, retired Marine fighter pilot Lieutenant Colonel John P. Cushing Jr. Cushing, now this is the ex-husband, who lives on Vashon Island, is back together with his first wife, Christine, who used a .38 caliber handgun in the deaths of their 4 and 8-year-old girls at their home in California's Orange County in 1991. Oh. She blamed the killings on a bad reaction to the antidepressant Prozac.
Okay.
I've taken Prozac for years. I
mean.
But okay, someone's bought mental chemistry, could be brain chemistry. Was found not guilty by reason of insanity.
Wow. Okay.
And served nearly 4 years in a mental institution.
Okay.
After a decade of psychiatric monitoring, Christine Cushing received an unconditional release from the state of California in 2005 when authorities determined she posed no risk.
Oh, boy. Okay.
But that's done little to soothe Conlin, who went to court to alter the parenting plans for the two sons she had with Cushing after learning Christine Cushing had returned to Cushing's home.
Okay. So this is her ex's new lady.
No.
Got it. Okay.
This man, Cushing, was married to this woman, Christine.
Right.
They had two children.
Right. She killed them.
She killed them and went to
a mental institution.
Yeah. Went to prison for 4 years.
Yes.
This guy, Cushing,
married
this woman, Trisha.
Right. After that.
They had two boys.
Got it.
They got divorced.
Okay.
He's now back with the woman who killed their children.
Whoa.
Because it was temporary insanity.
And now she's okay again.
Supposedly she's okay again.
Okay.
Okay. So now this woman's like, well, my sons go over there. This is the other weird thing that I actually find very strange is that they split up the sons who are only a year apart. So one lives with her and one lives with this guy.
It's like the Parent Trap.
It's like the Parent Trap.
Okay.
Exactly. She says, I just don't understand how a person could have marital relations with the person who killed their children. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Okay.
But the court ruled against Conlin. Commissioner Leonard Ponomarchuk said that because the boys have been spending time with Christine Cushing since 2008 with no problems, even if it was unknown to Conlin, so let me explain, she didn't know that he had gotten back together with his first wife.
Oh.
The boys were instructed to refer to her as like Miss M or something. So she never knew he was, for years, she had suspected, and then I think I get into why she figured it out.
Okay.
So she didn't know. She wasn't being like a bad mom. She didn't know that he was back with his first wife. And they went to lengths to keep it from her because for obvious reasons.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Even if it was unknown to Conlin, there wasn't evidence of a change in the situation that would warrant an alteration of the parenting plan. I have to look at this dispassionately, the commissioner said. Would I ever want my children around her? I would say no. But that is an emotional reaction coming from a parent. Conlin suspected Christine might be back in Cushing's life, but said she didn't learn it for sure until 2 years later when she received a call from a Washington State Child Protective Services worker. The worker told her that CPS had just received a call from Christine's therapist who reported that Christine was living with children again.
Wow.
Conlin threatened to go to court to seek a change in the boy's parenting plan, court records show. Instead, Cushing told her not to worry about it. Christine Cushing had decided to divorce him and move out.
Okay.
But the divorce was never finalized. Christine moved back in. According to a court declaration by Cushing, that was in March of 2008. For the next 3 years, Conlin said, she had no idea her boys were spending time with Christine Cushing. Cushing deliberately concealed that fact, she claimed, by instructing the boys to refer to their stepmom by a different name, Mrs. M. Conlin said that early this year, she became suspicious again that Christine Cushing was back in the house. She arrived at Cushing's home to drop off Stephen, that's one of the kids, for spring break, and saw a painting Christine had made hanging on the wall, and it was dated 2010.
Was it of, like, dead kids?
It was some dead kids. Night-night! And then she hired her attorney hired a private investigator, and they confirmed it. And I have a video, in the news letter, I'll have a link to a video of her talking about the case.
Did she ever get her boys away then?
No, I don't think so.
It's just, that's what it is.
That's just what it is. They could spend, because she was legally I cut some of it out because it was so long, but I think it was at least the husband, or maybe it was the husband's attorney, said, well, she never legally committed the crime because it was insanity.
I guess legally it's all okay. But can you imagine?
Can you imagine wanting to be, even if it was temporary insanity or it was the medicine's fault, wanting to be back with this person who killed your daughters?
No.
Isn't that bizarre? Every second would be. And what I want to know is, like, did the parents know? I mean, did the children know, the boys?
Right.
Know this history?
I don't.
You know what I mean? Maybe that's not something you tell your kids. Like, oh, by the way, I used to be married and I had two daughters and my wife, my first wife, killed them.
How old were the daughters?
4 and 8.
So she had 4 and 8 years where she didn't kill her kids. And the court's like, well, they've been safe for a couple of years, so they're fine.
Yeah. Because they had ruled that it was the psychiatrist's, although there was, I think there was one thing about some weird incident had happened, but I'm not quite sure. But anyway, it's like, I understand, I don't know why it's a commissioner, not a judge. I don't know what that means. But if they're saying, like, well, she's been living with them for 3 years and nothing weird has ever happened.
Yeah, but she also lived for years and well, something did. I mean,
well, that's a good point.
I don't think that's like saying, you know, this husband only got violent after 10 years of marriage.
Right.
So now it's been 3 years. He's probably not going to get violent. I don't think that time means anything.
I think it's
capacity to do that. It exists.
Well, but they're saying it was because not her fault. It was. I mean, I've never heard of. Prozac isn't like, look, I'm not an expert, but I don't think Prozac is like, it's not like lithium or something. It's not like a major drug that I could imagine would have.
I have heard of psychotic breaks because of antidepressants.
Oh, have heard of that before. I think it's possible.
Yeah. If I were the person who did that,
yeah,
I would be like, you know what? I'm not going to risk it. I don't want to be around kids ever again. Like, I don't.
Right.
It's wild to me that the woman, if she never had the capacity for that, that she would be comfortable saying, yeah, let me around your kids. I feel like she should be like, yeah, you know what? I shouldn't be around kids. Like,
or maybe I don't want to be married to the guy whose children I killed because every day is a living reminder of what the fuck happened.
Yeah, because this is too painful.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Isn't that crazy?
That's the craziest.
So if you have a bad custody story, just remember it could be worse.
Yeah.
It could be this.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
For so many people.
So many.
The girls the most.
Yeah. So obviously that was a few years ago. The boys are of age now. I don't know what happened. But
they're okay.
I guess they're okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
But then obviously they had to be alerted to what was going on.
They probably know now.
Yeah, because the mother was trying to get, you know, full custody back. But isn't it weird to split up your children?
That's strange to me.
Maybe it was like their choice. Like the boy's choice. Yes.
Yeah. Maybe it was. Yeah. I guess that's true. It just seemed like if you had kids and they're that close in age, they could really use the solace of being with their sibling, but
siblings don't always get along.
Yeah, I know, but you know, it's still a traumatic thing, divorce, and I just thought, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It does seem strange.
They're both boys. They're 1 year apart. It just seemed like
the whole thing is kooky.
It's kooky. That's really the least of it. I just thought that was an interesting detail.
Let's get in there and talk to that family.
Yes,
that was a great story.
Right? Crazy.
I really liked it. Tragic but interesting.
That's our catchphrase, tragic but interesting. All right. We'll be back right after this with our special guest, Jimmy Fallon.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Christine.
Hey, welcome back.
Welcome back. One of the toilets is broken.
Yes.
There's two toilets here for lady people.
Oh, speaking of toilets,
yeah.
I know you love talking about toilets.
It's my favorite topic.
My daughter, she's really trying to control, you know, I'm having my second colonoscopy on Thursday because I have to have a redo.
I've had two.
Lucky you. So my second one's on Thursday. I get to start, fasting tomorrow. And she was like, I really think that this time, Mom, you can use the guest bathroom. Because if a toilet's going to get broken, I think it should be the guest bathroom toilet.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, no.
But the toilet, the bathroom is in your room.
Uh-huh.
And she and Benjamin have their own bathroom.
Yeah, but everyone comes in.
To your bathroom.
To mine, because that's the heated seat bidet toilet.
Oh,
it's the nice bathroom. It's heat. The bathroom's heated. It's all nice. Everybody wants to be in that bathroom. And I was like, if you think I'm going to abuse myself,
just tell her you're going to shit all over her bed.
I might.
She likes that.
I might do that.
Also, hi, new voice, but I just have to say, it's not like you're shitting literal bricks.
Right.
It's
like
the
you're
opposite
not breaking
of that.
Toilets. No, you're like basically flushing.
It's liquid.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I was like, also, I'm not the one who uses half a roll of toilet paper when I have a BM like children do and are constantly having to unclog toilets because I'm an adult who knows how to use toilet paper. And I know that you don't need that much. And there's a bidet. Like, I can handle it. Like,
right.
I'm going to be in the nice bathroom.
They're just gross children.
With my, you know, Kindle, my phone.
Yeah.
Just relaxing for hours.
Just a big gulp of water.
Yeah. I'm going to be looking forward to having all that time to myself.
It is really.
Right? You know, yeah. Where they won't actually come into the bathroom.
Oh, yeah. Just tell them you're going to the bathroom the whole time.
Yes.
Just don't
even if I'm not.
Yeah.
I'll take my computer in there and watch shows.
Well, on the first half of the show, of this show.
This one.
We talked about how to survive a custody battle. Now we're going to talk about how to survive being in custody with, you've already heard her, Stephanie Escajeda.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, Stephanie. She's an actress and comedian. But we do want to know this crazy story that I didn't want to tip at all. But I actually don't know that much about it, so I'm very excited to learn.
Yeah, so I had a very odd experience in the late 90s. It was the year after I graduated from college. I ended up joining a theater company where we did, oddly, a kabuki play that ended up winning an Obie.
Whoa.
But it was this very, this theater was run by Sigourney Weaver's husband.
Okay.
And it was a super... I'll say an odd experience. We were made as the company players. We were not paid or anything, but we also had jobs to clean and this and that. It was like kind of a
collective,
the worst internship you could ever imagine. Except,
I'm sorry, what city were you in?
New York.
Okay.
This was Tribeca. And so I ended up, we were always going to be... vying for like the bigger parts, it was a constant audition process, meaning we would rehearse it and he would just rehearse multiple people in the parts. And
wow,
one night,
that's weird.
Yeah, it was a very odd situation. But one night he was like, I was there, I was cleaning the bathrooms, whatever, and then him and his friend were there, and I said, well, let's, like, you know, they were having some beers, and I was like, okay, thanks, and I'll have one. And then I said, well, so it's late, you know, I'm going home. Are you guys going to go home up the west side? Because I lived at 18th and 1st, and he lived on the upper west side. And he's like, yeah, we go that way. We're just going to spend like a couple more minutes here. And so it was really like 1 a.m.
Oh,
something,
God.
Where I was like, okay, no problem. You know, and I got out of the Tribeca situation, which again – Manhattan's changed, so when I say Tribeca now, people are like, well, that's a great neighborhood.
It's really hip, yeah.
And you're like, well, then it was different. So I think I caught a train at Canal Street, went to 14th Street Union Station, and then...
By yourself? You're by yourself?
I'm by myself.
Okay.
had been with these grown men who had been like literally, you know, feeding me beer. Again, not like in any nefarious way, but I was just trying to connect and kind of, you know.
And was this Sigourney Weaver's husband? Or
this was Sigourney Weaver's husband. And another guy who, like, there was a whole cadre that they, there's that word again. That it was like Mack Wellman, the playwright, and different people that would hang out that you go, I studied these people in school. So I was very excited. But when they sent me home, I was like, no, it's no problem. I'll just go home by myself. So when I went, I got to Union Station. And then really from 14th Street, you could walk across like however many blocks to First. Or you could take the L train and get closer to like 14th and First, I think. And I was like, I'm so tired. I just want to like wait. And I'm going to wait here at Union Station and just wait for the L train to take me across because I'm lazy. These couple four avenue blocks.
Right. Those are long.
You know, and I was like waiting. And I had that thought where I was like, I am done. I think that, you know, when there's enough time you spend in a train station where you're like, neither direction is coming at all.
Yeah.
And I think I've miscalculated, even though it's been, you know, 40 minutes and I should probably just do the walk that I was avoiding, you know, the calculation. Yes. So when I was like, okay, I'm gonna ascend the stairs and I'm going to get out of Union Station, this big like gang of kids came down, rowdy, like came down the stairs, and I was like, okay, well, hold on, I'm just gonna, because they literally made it impossible for me to go up.
Oh,
so then all of a sudden the train station from Brooklyn into Manhattan, so the opposite direction of what I needed to, I needed to go towards Brooklyn, the other direction came, and I was like, okay, well, there's a fucking train, but it's not mine. This big gang of kids got out, and all of a sudden, it was like the two groups, the one that had just come down the stairs and the one that got off the train, were in it. These two guys were roundhouse punching each other.
Just like out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
It is like the Warriors.
No, it was crazy. And one, and this guy was like roundhouse punching this other guy. Literally just, I remember him kind of like taking these big leaping steps towards me where I had to kind of back up,
back up
just to get away from people punching. And all of a sudden a gun went off and I had to crouch down.
Oh my God.
And I was like, because then it became like, there's a gun.
Yes.
And I don't know where the fuck that came from, but I ducked behind this bench. And then all of a sudden, I was like, what I did was scanned everybody's hands to see who's holding something. And I saw a guy with a huge knife and it was dripping in blood.
Oh my God.
I know. And then, so anyways, this kerfuffle, and then it was kind of like the melee, it stopped. And then this guy was like, I've been shot. And he was sitting there on the subway bench. And then these people were like, somebody help him. And I'm like, stop screaming. We've all been through something. And it was weird because again, a big crowd had exited up the platform. Like, they were gone.
Yeah.
And all of us that were like, what the fuck, were still there.
Except for this one kid, were all the kids gone?
No, there was like a kind of a group of people that had stayed. Of course, his friends, the guy that had said he'd been shot. Well, I went over to him and he was bleeding out.
Oh, my God.
There's a puddle of blood.
Oh, my God.
He, in fact, I learned later, had not been shot. He'd been stabbed.
Right.
Another guy who had been shot was on the tracks, dead already.
Oh, my God.
Another guy was like, I was like this.
Oh, my God, Stephanie.
I know. And I just sat there because I was, at that point, 21, 22. I just graduated from Yale University. I was doing my internship at this, like, theater. I was very, you know, and all I could think was, like, fuck you, Sigourney Weaver's husband, not letting me share a cab 5 minutes after I left. Like, I could have just been spared all this. But I had really attracted like everything. And I was in that mindset that you are when you come out of high school and college to a certain extent where you're like, I just want to help. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Police mm-hmm. are here to help. I just don't. This guy's hurt. I want to help. Yeah. I want to help. I want to help. And I wasn't like, I want to get home. I mean, I did think that, of course. But after this, I was like, when a gunshot goes off, you're like, I'm in it with these people. We're all in a war together.
Wow. You know?
And so the police ended up coming, and then they escorted all of us.
How long did it take the police to get there, do you think?
There was a police station in the station.
Oh, wow. So, okay, like, so pretty fast.
Immediate.
Yeah.
But they all kind of like took us, and they took us to this one. Again, I was probably two blocks from my house, and they ended up holding all of us that had been there for overnight, because they were trying to sort who's involved,
yeah,
who's one gang, who's the other gang, uh-huh. who's this, and I ended up learning this from when I actually gave like my eyewitness account.
Uh-huh.
They said, you are falling through the cracks. We've got homicide. We've got gang. We've got drugs. We've got subway. We've got, you know, there's about five or six different capacities of the police that are trying to figure out what the fuck happened and whose jurisdiction is it and everything.
Oh, like on TV when they're like, this is...
Yeah, it's that. It was messed.
SVU.
Yeah, but then also they were like, so the other part was, my belief was, well, of course I won't be held longer than needed.
Right.
Because
The
world works. Yeah, and these people are here to protect me, and I was just a person. Mm-hmm. And there was a part of me that didn't really realize, so they ended up being two Puerto Rican gangs.
Mm-hmm.
And not kind of realizing, too, like on a list of like O'Sullivan's or whatever, if you see an Escajeda, you just go potentially involved. Like,
oh,
I didn't
my God.
Know that.
Yes.
So I just literally put
You're like,
my head
I
down.
Went to Yale. I'm fine.
I'm fine. I'm yes. in this like I'm in this theater company. I'm going to go back tomorrow. He said, try out for the princess. That's the best part. He's like, yes. Come back tomorrow. I want to try you. The FaceTime worked. I'm going to see him tomorrow.
Wow.
And when they weren't letting me out, I was starting to freak out.
Yeah.
But not, I don't freak out in that way of like, get me out of here. I deserve better. I'm
right.
like, the system will work.
Right.
So I sat there. I put my head down. I drew. I wrote in my, you know, I wrote like in any paper that uh-huh. or yes. pen I could find. And I just sat there and watched different people freak out and get let out. And I just thought they're weak. They're not like helping. And
were these
and
other witnesses or the,
other witnesses
or the
yes. gang and
members.
Other gangs members? Uh-huh. But then basically, so they brought me into question, and I was like, so I saw this, I saw that, I saw this, I saw a knife with blood. I remember this gunshot. I remember this.
Mm-hmm.
I like could like my power of observation. To them, they were like, oh, this is awesome. You're the best witness we like. What? You are the most talkative witness we've had.
Uh-huh.
And your power of observation has been spot on. And you're helping us.
That's great.
So they helped me longer. Until finally. But it was that time when I had just graduated from, you know, I had roommates. But you realize your roommates don't need to check if you came home.
Right. You're an adult. They're
right.
not
you're
like
an adult.
They're like, oh, she probably hooked up with someone.
You're 21.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. She just isn't here. And I even had asked a guard, I go, can I use the phone? And he was like, no, sit back down. Like, he didn't know who I was.
Right.
He didn't know
wow.
witness, whatever. And then finally, I like kind of like tucked my head back again and then woke up from napping on a table because
uh-huh.
I was being held overnight. This was, by the way, two nights. I was held like a total
what?
Of 3 days. Yeah.
Wait. Okay, first, so let's back up.
So this happened like at 1 a.m.
Uh-huh.
And then I was held like kind of, they probably even only got us sorted by 6 a.m. But then they held us the whole next day and they didn't see me until.
In a room at the station or at a police station?
At the police station.
But you're not under arrest. You can leave.
No, except when you're 21.
You don't
think
that. Right.
And you think like, of course they'll let me out when they need to. Like they
will.
Right.
No, I probably would have.
I would have just sat there.
Yeah. There was a compliance in me that I just didn't even realize existed. I was really like, they
know what they're doing. Yeah.
And I'm in a, yes, it was.
They're the adults.
I didn't feel at fault. I felt like I was part of something bigger that somebody was sorting out.
Right.
But it wasn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
until I really started to panic when I really was like, nobody knows where I am. I'm scared. And I woke up, a guard change had happened at the door.
Uh-huh.
And I went up to the guy and I was like, I need to make a phone call. And he went, go ahead. And I was like, because the last guy wouldn't let
me.
And I went, okay. So I got on the phone in the middle of the police station and literally my friends picked up and was like, we're having a Super Bowl party. Like, where are you? And I can't. This is the first time I can describe, like, in a animation way, vertical tears shooting out my face. I was like, oh, I mean, and because I was, it was so long. It was now over 48. I was like shooting tears out of my face. They fed us like a bun and a cup of coffee.
Oh my God.
And I was shooting and they also were like, well, there's the, they were like, there's the vending machine. I was like, I don't have any money. I'm a freaking actress in New York with no spare change. So I was vertical tears. And then that is exactly when the vertical tears is what made them get my statement and release me.
Oh.
Like they really expedited the whole thing. Yeah.
But they had already talked to you once, right?
They had not, let's see, they kind of did in a cursory way, but this is where they were like, okay,
we need to
like literally take her statement and just like get her out of here. And then they were like, by the way, we're going to release you, but we need you to know that they, we're going to, you know, we hope you have a friend that can meet you because there's some gang activity outside the police station. They really are in a kind of a retaliatory mode that anybody who comes out just be careful. And I was like,
they couldn't even walk you out?
Fucking kidding me. The whole thing was like, I just was there. I didn't do anything. And I was trying to help. And what was so, anyways, I ended up getting out, going home, having like a crazy feeling of like, what is this? The next day after I woke up and went out, I literally saw a homeless man, an unhoused man, get hit by a car and thrown into an intersection. I picked up 911. I called. I go, you need to get to the corner of 23rd and whatever because I am seeing this. Da, 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 da. And they went, and I'm sorry, what is your name? And I just went, you don't need to know it. And I clicked because I was like,
exactly.
That was what I learned how to survive is like, by the way, your help, you help to the point you can help,
right,
but nobody's helping you.
Jesus.
Isn't that crazy?
The next day.
And I will tell you that it was so like, everyone was just so traumatized by how long I'd been helped. Like they kind of, all my friends were like, what? That I had lawyers end up calling me to try to sue the New York Police Department. And I was like, I'm not about that. I'm about like, what the fuck?
Right.
And they ended up writing probably a 5-page spread in the Village Voice using not my name, but it was like, instead of Stephanie Escajeda, it was like Sandy Escobar.
Okay.
Or Sandy, you know. They still kept my initials, weirdly. but yeah, they wrote this huge piece being like, what the fuck is up with policing in this city?
So they must have interviewed you for it.
A reporter called me. Wow. I wasn't comfortable like suing the police department.
I get that.
But I was like, yeah, no, if you want to talk to me about how crazy that was, because I felt like I don't even know. Like you know when you hear people go like, don't talk to the police, man. They'll fuck you every time.
Right.
And you're like, oh, cynical. That's so crazy.
Yeah.
And I became somebody who I was like, I really think that's salient advice. You might not have your rights looked out for in a situation where you're an asset to them, but you don't matter.
And it happened like that. You changed from one person to a different person. I mean, you didn't change who you are, but you know what I mean? Your outlook on this particular thing.
Oh, for sure.
Did they ever contact you after this article or anything? The police?
The police? Yeah. No. Oh, yeah. No, I had detectives call me and I would kind of refuse like to follow up.
Oh, they wanted more questions?
Well, I was like, I told you everything I know.
Yeah.
Done. Like, right. And it wasn't like they were like aware of the article and that was me and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. They just wanted to like, I was like, you got me for 3 days and you questioned me. We're done.
Wow.
But I would be, again, I like now it would really depend on the situation how much I would get involved. And I am like a super Samaritan, like do-gooder.
Yeah.
But I am kind of like, I don't know.
I always wonder, like, what would I do in a situation like that? Because I've never been in that sort of thing. That, oh my, did you ever, I mean, I know this is not, this is beside the point, but did you ever find out, did the kid who was stabbed survive?
Oh, no, he died.
He died right there.
Yeah, three people died, and they told me that, because they were able to tell me when they questioned me, like, two nights later, that he had died.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you were right there trying to help him.
Yeah, he was bleeding out, and I just kept being like, guys, everyone just calm down. Like, it was a, again, I felt this feeling of, I don't know, there's like a, joie de vivre is not the way to describe it. Whatever it is, there's this like way that you feel like in it with people and you think it's all going to be great. But when we ended up being held, the every man for, I mean, there were a lot of people that were like, I should not fucking be here.
Uh-huh.
Let me out. And I thought, oh, those complaining women.
Right.
They're just trying to get out of, like, doing their civic duty. Right.
But they'd already been you, and then they'd already
maybe
gone through the...
Or yeah, they just were like, fuck this, why am I here for
They're native
12?
New Yorkers, yes. And they're like,
why
no.
am I here for 5 hours, 6 hours? I was there for 48
plus.
That
is so insane. Did you get the part of the princess?
No, I... what's crazy is I honestly, like, lost. And like, he saw it as I did not turn up to work.
Wait, did you tell him what happened?
Does it matter, though? When, like, literally it was, no, it did not matter. It was like, oh, that's crazy.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know how.
F him.
Everything is. It's like, you're yeah. like, they're like, yeah, oh, shit happens. And that was, it was kind of that
I like
feeling
people.
Of.
Sorry.
Well, it's the most traumatic thing to you, but shit does happen.
No, but that's crazy.
No, I know, but he, again, there's part where he'd have to, like, assuage his own guilt of not taking me, you know.
Right.
There's a lot of, like, just.
So you were basically asking them, can I have a ride? Can I share a cab with you? And they were like, oh, we're staying a few
more
minutes.
We're staying, like, a few more minutes.
So that they don't have to give you a ride.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. And I was, yeah, the whole thing was just an amalgam of, like, police, you know, patriarchy.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. like. City living, New York at a certain time.
Yeah,
like,
right. Last name, Hispanic last
yeah,
name.
Weird, yeah, like, weirdly, I really was like, people that were Lily White were just, and I am visually, but like last name wise.
Right.
People were just like being popped out of there to go home. Again, I don't know that if they got an interview, they would go, I didn't say anything. They'd
right.
go, oh, okay, bye.
Right.
And I was like, oh, here's what I saw. I saw this knife of this length, and I would say, and
yeah.
I estimated it to be this person and that person, and this is, you know, the timing. And they were like, I'll hold her.
Oh, my God.
She is very valuable.
Stephanie, thank you so much. That was an amazing story.
Yeah, that was incredible.
Yeah, I hope you guys are not like, well, our podcast is a little lighter than this.
No. We get, no.
We
that
love
was,
that.
That was a perfect story,
that
honestly.
Was so good.
Fascinating.
Perfect for our show.
It's totally fascinating. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. I'm a fan.
Well, thank you. Likewise. And we will be back right after this with What Did We Learn Today?
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Danielle.
Christine.
Are you ready to learn what we learned today?
So ready.
Join our Patreon for all of our word salad and deep dives into Klubin and Ray's tic-tac account. Custody battles should never be about winning or prevailing over your ex, but whatever is best for the children.
Yep.
No one is winning in a situation like this.
Right.
To be fair, unless the kid gets 2 Christmases.
Oh, that did you get 2 Christmases as
no.
a kid?
No.
Did you get even one?
Yeah, okay. But not 2. You can't go to LegalZoom for a custody dispute. Contact a family lawyer.
Okay.
I'm sure LegalZoom would disagree with that, but I think you're right about it, Karen. Elizabeth Diane Downs is an American woman who murdered her daughter and attempted to murder her other two children near Springfield, Oregon on May 19, 1983. Following the crimes, she made claims to police that a man had attempted to carjack her and had shot the children.
Wait, when was this?
1983.
83. Yeah. Oh, I don't know the story.
This story is so haunting to me. I read this book when I went through a true crime phase in my my ute. And one of the things that's really haunting is that the radio in the car was playing Hungry Like the Wolf while she was shooting her kids. And so one of the daughters is like really haunted by that song.
I mean, I find that song upsetting anyway, as does our friend Matt Belknap.
So do I.
He is actually right. That's the song that freaks him out.
Wild Boys?
Oh, you're right. It's a different Duran Duran song.
Different Duran Duran, yeah.
But that song freaks me out because of the noise, the sound they make. So that's...
Me too.
So the kids were in the car.
Yes.
And she killed one of them.
She shot all of them.
Oh, she shot them. Mm-hmm. How did the other two kids survive? She just missed.
No, they just survived the gunshot wounds.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's really terrible.
And then what? She just ran away?
I think... I don't remember the specifics, but yeah. And then she went on. You can watch her interviews on Oprah where she's in prison in Oprah's interviewing her. Ugh. And Ann Rule is also there because she wrote this book about it.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, their hair is also very insane.
That's what you took away from it?
Yeah, they all have giant hair. That's what I remember. Big,
even in jail, she had giant hair.
Yeah, big bear claw bangs.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like she's pregnant in prison.
Oh, no.
Somehow, you know, she like manages to conceive another child.
Jesus Christ. Ugh.
Yeah, so heartwarming.
Yeah.
What else, guys?
I can't think of anything else.
Well, everyone check out our bonus episode. You know there's a free trial on Patreon. You can just... do a 7-day trial, listen to our bonus, yep. And then you don't even have to stick around. You can just XO cancel.
Or you can be like, yeah, I like this. I need more Danielle and Christine and Garen in my life.
Into it. They just keep talking and talking.
They're just those yappy broads. They just keep talking, chatting it up.
Exactly. I need it all in my ear skis.
Oh, that's cute.
I guess.
All right.
Until next time.
Remain calm.